Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Pete Haggard, and Pete makes some fermented foods that we are interested in. So one of them is sauerkraut, and another is kimchi, and I know that he also ferments and pickles some other things. Let's start with how you got involved with fermenting foods in the first place.
Well, I've always liked canning and pickling both, so this was kind of a growth out of that. About 20, 25 years ago, you started seeing Asian pickles in the store, and since I was doing things like sauerkraut anyway, I decided to branch out. But both of those are pretty traditional for people to stay healthy over the winter. They get vitamin C and things like that out of it. And it just, I love to garden, and I wanted to use as much of my garden produce, vegetables, and fruit as I could.
How big of a garden do you have?
It's enough for two people, and to can enough pickles and sauerkraut and chutneys and things like that to give us gifts and keep us in it. We're heavy users of chutney and things like that, but we have to do it every year. But a good-sized garden with also a small orchard.
Okay, and how much fermented food do you make a year?
I would guess about 5 gallons of kimchi, and on years we make sauerkraut, which we make more of, and can probably 7 to 8 gallons. And I use volume because I use a plastic 5-gallon bucket to ferment things. I like buckets better than a lot of stuff. And that's a lot of material because when you add salt to it, it really shrinks, maybe 1 in 3. So you may think you have it packed up, but it will shrink within a few days and you have to add more.
And then you give it as gifts. Now, what do people say when you give them a little jug of kimchi?
I ask them first. I found that a lot of young people aren't much interested in it, but people in our neighborhood that are closer to our age really enjoy it, particularly sauerkraut. A lot of people my age, which is 65, grew up in the Midwest or in the East Coast where things like that were made on a regular basis. You didn't have fresh vegetables to get, and it was a good source of vitamin C. I'm not sure they saw it that way, but they saw it as a good product they could eat in the winter and taste very good.
Mm-hmm. I can just sit there with a jar of sauerkraut and just eat right out of the jar with a fork. I love that stuff. And kimchi, too. I like kimchi, but sometimes a little spicy. So let's talk about the process for making sauerkraut in particular. What sort of variety of cabbage is best for making sauerkraut?
Well, I figured you would ask that question, and I forgot to look up the variety. But there's an eating cabbage that's very tender, very sweet, and that's what we use for coleslaws, things eating fresh. That isn't the best because it's really tender. And usually the 6-packs you buy at the farmer's market or nursery are ones that are not that and are good enough. They ripen at the end of the season. They're ready. They're a little bit tougher. Mm-hmm. And so they hold up better, I think, to the fermenting process. To be truthful, though, at the end of the season when I'm ready to do this, anything that looks like a cabbage will go in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because you need a lot of volume to fill the
It's amazing. You think you have a lot of cabbage when you see it out in the garden, but it really makes a difference when you start chopping it up and salting it. So it's something to keep in mind that you might want to grow eating cabbage for summer and then a little bit more winter or fall cabbage. And if you look at catalogs, they'll actually list the variety of cabbage as being a good kraut cabbage, and it just means it's a little firmer.
Okay. And now I've read that fall-picked cabbage is best, but that's probably kind of a national standard, and probably here on the coast we can get cabbage just about year-round.
Yeah, I think most things are come out of the East Coast where that's the only option they have, but on the West Coast, whenever you can get a large amount of cabbage or materials for kimchi, which a big one is daikon radish, whenever you can get a lot of that, and a lot of times for us it's in the middle of winter when we get enough. So you really plan it on when you can get the most.
Okay. And then you want to use stuff that's harvested pretty freshly, which is pretty easy to do when you have your big garden out there and you just go out there and pick them. And then you wash them and then you quarter them, or then you start slicing them. I've seen the cabbage slicer. You know, it's kind of a cabbage slicing machine. It's not what you use?
No, I've never done that. One of the nice things about making your own stuff is that I like sauerkraut with a mouth texture and a look to it that is different than every slice being the same. Mm-hmm. They do that commercially because it ferments quicker if everything is exactly the same.
Oh, okay.
But we really don't have to use that. And I think my neighbors would agree that small chunks in there are kind of nice to gnaw on and things like that if you like to eat sauerkraut fresh.
And then do you like mix up this gigantic batch of cabbage and salt to get the moisture starting to come out of that cabbage?
What I do is I start slicing it up with a knife, put it at the bottom. In the first material I put in there, the first cabbage, I put the salt on and tamp it down with a wooden thing like a wooden mallet. And I layer that, and I do that more gingerly. If you wait to the very end to tamp it down, you'll tamp the top of it and maybe crush them and not do much there. So it actually works a little faster if you do it at a layer at a time.
And then do you find that the brine just instantly comes out of that cabbage and then you've got plenty to cover? Do you end up having to make a brine to cover with?
If I'm using the tougher cabbage, I almost never get enough fluid out of it. But you should, by the at least the second day, have a really good idea how much brine you're going to get from the salt and the cabbage together, because it's a dry process up to then. And then the salt pulls the liquid and the sugars out of the cabbage. And if you cannot put a weight on top of that and keep it under the solution, you have to add more saline solution to that, because the whole thing is dealt with, it has to be under that solution. It can't be in contact with air.
And they usually have like weights that you put on top, is that right? And that kind of pushes the cabbage down?
What I have is an old bucket from one of the stores that had powdered garlic in, and it has an odor that'll never leave it. It's garlic. And then I have a large Merrimack plate, which I cut a hole in the middle, and then I put that down there, and it doesn't sound like it would, but it holds all the cabbage down. And then I put a gallon of vinegar or a gallon of liquid on top of that. It's got to hold it below the surface, or you have to add more solution. And then they recommend something like a towel to keep a bird from dropping in there or something like that.
Yeah. And it's funny because I'm thinking your method sounds so low tech. You can buy all these like fancy crocks with the fancy weights and all this sort of stuff, but you're able to put it together just from things that you have or...
Yes, and it's two reasons. One is that the plastic is semi-opaque, so I can see things inside, sort of, and also where things are stuck. Two things I have problem with Crocs is they're heavy, and I no longer can lift them. They are very heavy if you have any of a size, so that's kind of out. And the plastic is really light, but the ceramic pots are, you can't see through. See into, and so often the hole is smaller on top, so things get caught. So I can keep a plastic bucket everything below the surface, and that is critical because they'll mold as soon as they get above. So I really like the bucket.
Okay. And then for the salt that you use, you don't use table salt, right?
No. Almost all the pickling books are against that because it adds a negative color, a color that doesn't look appetizing. So I strictly use things that call pickling salt or something like that. It's no big deal. It's, you can still find that, and a 5-pound bag will last you a long, long time.
And then it all starts to happen. You start to get some gas bubbles in there, and let's just say it doesn't start to smell very good, right?
Yeah, within the first couple of 3 days, it actually smells really good of fresh cabbage. And then it starts to turn, and we literally can't tolerate it. We put it in our garage, and every time you work with it, it almost saturates your clothes, very concentrated. And I suspect... there's temperatures you're supposed to keep it at, but we really can't do that because we put it out in our garage with a cement floor. So we go with what that temperature is, whatever it is, and it's usually much colder than they say. And the only problem is, we don't see it as a problem, but it takes longer. And a lot of this fermentation, people are not negative if it takes longer. Some people think actually you get a better product, but if you do it too fast, you do get a much softer product. We've always used the garage and never had any problems.
Okay, that sounds delicious, and hope that people listening might go out there and make their own sauerkraut.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.